I want to welcome back to the show. It's always great to have her here. We miss her every morning, but at least she's here now. And live in studio is Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
How you been?
Been good.
Yeah? Keeping busy?
Yeah.
What's
Yeah, just working.
Yeah?
Working, being.
Yeah?
You know, holidays and all that.
How are the holidays going for you?
They're going all right.
Yeah?
I'm trying to think what I've been doing. Oh, I went to the... I did the Chris Kindle market.
Oh, how was that?
With my mom.
How was that?
She didn't like it.
Why?
It was too much. Every booth was ornaments. She's like, I don't even have a tree. This is you. And I'm like, all right. Jeez, just acknowledge
the ornaments. She's got the Christmas spirit, huh?
Dang, Ma.
how long was she in town?
No, she just came
just
to...
Just came in for that?
Yeah, I try to pull her out of her her suburban life every now and again. And I have my dad chauffeur her to the downtown area,
right.
And we just hang out.
Right. Well, that's cool. But she wasn't crazy about it.
It was just cracking me up because it was every stall
had ornaments.
Right. It's, you know, the Chris Kindle market.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Christmas market.
Right.
But she doesn't have a tree. She's like, what do I need a tree for? I don't have any kids. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't have one either.
I don't either. How does your dad feel about Christmas?
He likes it. You know what? We're not very Christmas. We don't get the Christmas spirit like some people do. You know, we try to decorate the outside, but not really. We get lazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Slash, that costs too much money.
To do the outside?
Yeah, so much.
So your parents don't have a tree up? They don't have lights or anything?
No, they don't. I think she has a wreath. I think she got a wreath. I think.
You think she has a wreath? Went so far as to have a wreath?
Wait, what?
Went so far as to actually have a wreath.
Yeah, I think it's a fake one, though. It's not even a real.
That's all right.
That's fine. Yeah, you just stash it downstairs. I remember when I was a kid, we had a tree and stuff, but it was a fake one.
Yeah, we had a fake one, too.
Yeah.
I grew up on artificial trees.
Right, and you'd pull it out and... It was the metal hooks,
and it had each branch had a color coordinated little, on the end of it. Like you would have to put the red one into the red slot or the blue,
and then sometimes the sticker fell off, so you kind of had to figure it out.
You didn't know,
and the branches would fall off.
We had our tree. I gotta say, I think that we had a tree that lasted. I mean, it had to be at least 10 years that we had.
Way
I mean,
more.
Maybe even more than that.
Yeah, and every year there'd be more of the branches just in. The box
like they
that
would
had
fall
fallen off.
Yeah.
But you're just like, I don't know what we can do with these.
There's nothing you can do. Just put it up
you
and
glue it. I guess you try to fluff it somehow.
You know,
the
first real tree I ever had. I mean, because we had artificial tree. I had an artificial tree the whole time I was growing up.
Mm-hmm, me too.
The first real tree that I ever had was when I was living with. This girl Helena who moved in with me in 2000. So the first tree I ever had was December of 2000. That was the first real tree, and she got it. She went out and got it. I was like, I don't know.
My parents got me one when
a real one?
Came back from college. Like I think it was the first year I came back.
Uh-huh.
They were like, let's get a real one. I was like, what is happening?
Why? Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Because they miss their baby.
It's funny because, you know, like when you live with someone or you hook up with someone who comes from a real tree Christmas.
I don't know what that is. I was like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, no. And
a
this was a big deal.
Fantastic.
I thought so, too. I was like, you put it away, put it out. It's net. You don't have to water it.
There's no mess.
There's no pine needles falling all over the place. You can get that can spray to spray the pine smell if that's what you're missing. Yeah, you can get the like air freshener for pine smelling.
Is that
air
really the big get?
That's one of the things.
Is
people
that why?
Like the smell. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Ugh. They like the smell. So anyway, you know, the girl I was living with at the time was like, "No, we're having a real tree. There's no artificial tree." And we had just gotten. This was about that Christmas was about 4 months after we got Jackass and Bangs, and they took to that tree. They totally took to that tree. Like, they were drinking the water. We had to stop them from drinking the water that the tree was in. And, like, a Jackass would climb up inside the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'd have to get him out.
Was he a tree? He was a climber?
In general?
He was just a Jackass. Or did he just take to climbing the tree?
He just is a Jackass. He would try to do anything.
It's like, oh, you like this?
Yeah, I don't
know. This is a lovely thing you brought
me
to climb.
Yeah, I'm going to climb inside and, like, hide. And he would hide. And he was a black cat, too. So he would hide inside. the tree, and we'd be like, "Where's Jack?" And he's inside the tree. And then meanwhile, the other one would be drinking out of the bottom.
You should have just let him.
Yeah. Well, no, there's like pine needles and stuff
They got in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on them.
But yeah, so that was the first, the first adventure was keeping the cats away from this new,
right.
the fresh tree. And, you got to sweep up around it and all that stuff.
It's the worst. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. But that
I
was the
don't
first
like
and then,
decorating. Then you got to take it down. It's
then,
such a hassle.
Then I agree. I totally agree. But then when I moved in with Heather, I think it was the first year we had a real tree, and then mm-hmm. after that we went artificial for the other times that we were the Christmases that we had. And
I just don't get one.
Yeah. Yeah. How about those aluminum ones that revolve?
What?
Have you never seen
one of
those?
What do you mean?
They're not green. They're like aluminum, and they're on a turntable, and they actually like revolve. The whole tree revolves.
But it's aluminum.
Yeah, it's like made of aluminum.
So it's a gray tree.
No, it's the material is aluminum. So it's like silver. You know what I mean? They color it so it's like it's silver and the lights are already on it and you can and it's got like weird lighting and there's this was big in the 70s when people were blowing weed.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? You drop
acid.
I thought
the big thing was spraying it white. So it looked like
that.
It had just come from the snow.
There was that too. Yes, you could spray it white. Now, were you a garland family or a tinsel family?
Garland? I think we're garland.
Yeah, we were garland.
Tinsel is too much of a mess. My mother is way too much of a clean freak.
The other thing about that is, if you have cats, they will eat the tinsel.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's terrible.
Oh, yeah, and the poop is interesting.
Right.
Because there's tinsel just... One time, because we had tinsel...
I'm sure it could just drag.
Yeah. the girl who insisted on us having a real tree where we got Jackass and Bangs together. She and I got those cats together. She was a tinsel person, too.
No.
So not only were they climbing inside the tree and they were drinking the water, but they were pooping out tinsel. And at one point...
You have very festive cats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they became decorated. Because
exactly.
Right out of their butt. They had tinsel hanging out of their butt.
It's the Christmas spirit there.
I remember seeing Jackass walking down the hallway of our apartment. Tinsel just like hanging out of his butt. And I'm like, there's tinsel hanging out of the cat's butt.
It's like, I am being festive right now. Leave me alone.
I'm going to be as decorated as the tree. So, yeah, it's also not good for the cat to be chewing on tinsel.
No, it's not.
Drinking
it's plastic, I think, or whatever material. It's not a man-made, or it's a man-made material.
It is. And they're drinking pine water, having tinsel hanging out of their butts.
It's nature.
Yeah, that's nature.
It's natural.
Yeah. All right, so what's your plan for Christmas? You going to J-Town?
Yeah. Going home to J-Town, and then... so we don't...
Are you and V going to visit his family, too? Or?
Well, so what we... So in my house, we don't celebrate on the day. We celebrate Eve.
Oh, so you're Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we're the big... It's like a New Year's, where we're like, it's midnight! Jesus is born!
Yeah.
And then we all hang out
Depends
for a little bit
more.
Depends
on the time zone.
Yeah.
But, so...
And then, but then the next day, it's like nothing.
So
like
no,
people visit the day before. We do everything. We do the dinner. We do all that. And then the next
presents,
day, it's just whatever.
Presents are New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the plan is, I go to my house, and V is supposed to.
You're going Christmas Eve, obviously, right? To
yes,
house? Yes,
to my house.
All right,
and then I'm supposed to go to his, and his plan was to come get me. His family lives in like Arlington Heights area up there. He was going to see if he could borrow a car from them. And his mother, this cracked me up. He just called her yesterday and asked, can I borrow a car maybe? Because to go pick her up. And his mom just goes, no, that's not happening. Because she read a Facebook post where someone said that V drives dangerously. He doesn't even own a car right now. So this is like past
So hold on.
Things that have happened.
V's mother is checking out what's being said about V on Facebook.
Oh, she does it all the time. It cracks me up. But it was just so weird. She's like, no, I don't think that's not happening.
Was she not familiar with the way he drove before Facebook?
I don't know. It just cracked me up. He was like, if I could borrow a car. No.
That's funny.
No. Mm-mm.
That's funny.
It's like, okay.
That is funny. Wow.
Based on a Facebook post.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well,
and I think he's crashed a couple cars. There's that, too.
Oh, well, all right. Well, you see, now that makes more sense than hearing something on Facebook or seeing something on Facebook.
But that was her first response.
Was no.
Was the because no, of the but Facebook. Was the yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well,
it'll be fun.
You have any plans for New Year's?
No.
Yeah, I don't do any. I don't do the New Year's thing.
You figured out like day before.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of New Year's Eve. Mm. And when I would actually go out on New Year's Eve, I was usually bartending. Like whenever
which is the best because it's just a good excuse that now you have somewhere to be.
I remember one year specifically, 93 into 94. I was at Ginger's. And the great thing about that, it was Ginger's Ale House. It was me and just one other guy behind the bar. Just two of us. And it was private. It was a private thing. So people paid ahead.
Yeah.
So they were throwing money at us because it was an open bar.
Yeah.
So they had already paid a bunch of money to be there because they provided food and an open bar. Mm-hmm. All the money. I mean, I can't even tell you how much money I made that when it just split between two of us. And we were in the weeds the whole night.
Oh, no. And it's the best, though, because this is what I love about any of those kind of jobs, bartending, serving, any of that kind of stuff. Is that it's like a blur.
Yeah.
When it's crazy busy, you're in the weeds, you don't know what's happening, things are going exponentially wrong.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the night, you go, oh.
Oh, that's exactly what it was.
All
like,
right.
We were done, everybody got out of the bar close to 3, you know, it was like 3 o'clock, because it was a 2 o'clock bar. But everybody stayed a little bit later because it was New Year's Eve. So we got everybody out of the bar around 3, and the tip jar was overflowing with like 10s and 20s. And we were just like, so we counted the money and we split it between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And then we kissed. We were just like, it was a guy too. And we were just like, mwah, Happy New Year, baby. That was great. And I've actually been on the air a few times on New Year's Eve and rung in the New Year's. By the way, Steve and Johnny are going to be on.
Very nice. They did it last year too, right?
They did. Yeah. They used to do it regularly. That was their cheap date. It was the New Year's Eve, the cheap date New Year's Eve with Steve and Johnny.
Yeah.
And they have live music and all kinds of cool stuff. And then there were some years when they weren't, they didn't do it when I did. I think I did it. I think I hosted New Year's here maybe 3-4 times.
Yeah. So. It is a funny thing because it is literally just that precise minute.
Yeah.
All it's about.
That's it. And after midnight, it's like, all right.
And we're done.
For like five minutes. For 5 minutes, people kiss and make noise. Yeah. And then they stop and go, all right, let's drink more and get loaded.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big New Year's guy. All right, Esmeralda, hang on. Our good friend Esmeralda Leon is with us here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, but it's the Friday before Christmas, so it's Fly Jams Friday, the Christmas edition. Okay, Esmeralda just broke everything.
Oh, no.
What did you do? Oh, you broke the mic. The mic just fell. Can you just get...
I just got to move.
Look at that. Esmeralda,
I'm just going to move.
Esmeralda, she's not here every... You're gonna, yeah, well, there you go. That mic's gone. You gonna move over here?
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's fine. It's the bungee cord.
Oh, it needs to be. Oh, the mic needs to be pushed into the bungee the bungee cords to be held up on the thing.
Yeah, it's the bungee. It's fine. Right, it's fine. I didn't break anything.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna bring.
No, it's fine.
Is Adam's gonna come in and kill
it's
you?
It's perfectly
now.
Fine.
It just fell out of the thing, Adam.
I
you can fix
it.
That. That's fixable, right?
No, it just has to go back in.
We can fix anything. This guy brought Fartenstein back to life. Let me explain that to you. He also, my headphones, one of the channels of my headphone. My
oh, and it went out?
Went out.
Or and he fixed it.
Adam
yeah.
fixed it.
So he's technically the father of Fartenstein now.
Yeah, well, he's Dr. Fartenstein.
Because he brought it back.
He brought it back. He is actually Fartenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to know. I'm Fartenstein now.
And now Adam has the reputation of Fartenstein.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. So welcome back, Esmeralda.
Yeah, thanks.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Dan, look at Dan's here.
Yeah.
Hey, Esmeralda.
I think he's always here.
No, he was out for a little bit during the first segment.
Oh.
But,
okay. When you said that, I thought like a day or two.
Oh, no.
No, Dan, literally, he just left the room.
He left the room for a little bit, and now he's back.
Okay.
So.
We should celebrate.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Hey, Dan, you've heard from Skip, right? Skip Skipley's on the way?
He's on the way, yes.
Okay. All right. Can you switch back to that microphone now? Because I can't see Dan. I have to have eye contact with Dan. Now Esmeralda is going to switch back. See how exciting this behind-the-scenes stuff is? See, now I can see Dan, and we can have a conversation like normal human beings.
I can't see Dan.
Well, you can turn around.
That's a lot of work.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. And again, I want to mention our listener, Deanna.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
She got something for Esmeralda.
This is so really lovely.
Lovely stuff.
It's a lovely blanket. And then I love the little ornament. It's too cute.
Yeah.
And the card is gorgeous. Yeah. I'm assuming she made it herself.
I think she did. I'm pretty sure she did. And she is that kind of person. And she's great. I mean, she's incredibly generous year-round. And she comes to all my film club
stuff.
That's
lovely. And she spelled my name right.
She got stuff for my parents, too.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So, yeah, she's the best. But I wanted to make sure, Deanna, that you know that it got back to Esmeralda.
Extremely grateful. Thank you so much. So, my cat is going to love this.
that's now going to be Smokey's.
Yeah, because she loves this material.
How's Smokey
really
doing?
Soft. She's good.
Yeah.
Trying to think where I last saw her.
Well, the last time that we talked, she had just had that operation or the...
She just had a thing removed.
Yeah.
And she was wearing her t-shirt.
That's right. You were telling me about...
She was wearing a child's tank top. She was not happy about. I was hoping to get her in a onesie.
Mm. But oh, that would
not,
be cool.
But I could not find one that was big enough.
Big enough.
No, she's a large
she's big,
kitty
huh?
cat.
Yeah. So now there's another, you got the 10th anniversary.
Yes.
Of You, Me, Them, Everyone.
You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Everybody. Sorry. How did I get that wrong? It's only a line from the Blues Brothers.
Yes, our 10th anniversary.
And it's at, is it at the Brain?
Yes, it's at the Hungry Brain where it all started. The Hungry Brain was closed for, I think, a couple years ago.
Oh, no. Come on.
No, it's fine. All right. Just a small period of time, and then it reopened. But the person who bought it was a longtime
regular.
A regular, so it's still there. We still get to do shows. So we are celebrating our 10 years, which is
isn't that amazing,
insane. Which is funny because when I first started, I also lost my job in radio.
I know.
So look at that.
I know.
Another 8 years, and I'll get another one.
Well, we'll get the details. Do you have the details? We want to get those?
Yes.
We'll do that. Yeah. We'll wait till after because we got a break here for the news. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew. It's on December 27th, correct?
Yes. Thursday, December 27th, Hungry Brain, 6 p.m., I believe.
Yeah.
And
it's about Brandon Weatherby?
Yes. Brandon Weatherby's hosting. I'm co-hosting. We have a multitude of guests. We're going to have Adam Selzer, author, kind of Chicago historian, I guess you could say,
yeah.
Adam Selzer. Jim Ryan is going to be on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we got Jim.
Jim was just on with us a few days
ago.
Yeah,
we're going to talk to Jim Ryan. We're also having Daniel Knox, who is an amazing pianist. He actually just put out an album that is actually doing very well on the charts and... national wise,
yeah,
is doing actually quite well, and we've known him for a very long time. He's done stuff for Brandon when Brandon was directing movies that no one saw. He was doing the music. For
okay,
him
hang on a second,
that.
Esmeralda. We got more to talk about this the 10th anniversary of You, Me, Them, Everybody. But we got a break for the news, which is coming up next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. And we'll get to all of our regular Friday features. And our great friend Esmeralda Leon is here. It's so great to have you back on the show.
Aw, thank you.
Just hanging out, talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have to vote on the dummies.
Yes.
You get to vote on your dummy of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an all holiday themed Fly Jams Friday coming up.
That's exciting because my one favorite song is going to be on there.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
And hopefully, mm-hmm, for your appearance here this morning, mm-hmm, we'll have some quality Lou Manfredini for Straight Outta Context. I hope.
That would be quite.
I really hope.
That would be the best Christmas gift ever.
Some Straight Outta Context from Lou Manfredini.
That's all I need.
I was going to say, you're not a very demanding person,
no,
if that's what you want. So that's all coming up, 312-981-7200. We are also, we have a tracking device on the Bong Marine.
Oh, good. Oh, like Santa's sleigh?
Like Santa's... That's right. That's
the Bong Marine.
That's right. NORAD is keeping track on it.
Good,
and,
good.
And Skip Skipley is coming, and we're going to play a little bit of what the hell's it called?
For the Record.
For the Record.
Wow, man.
Do you know now? You know,
you have the radio show.
I know. Isn't that insane that I have a radio show? So you know what we're doing now? You know, remember the other game, Music IQ?
Mm-hmm.
We play that now when Jim Ryan comes in.
Oh, how does he do?
He won the first time.
Okay.
And we've only done it twice. Mm-hmm. He won the first time, and just this past week when we did it, I won.
Oh.
We tied. Dan and I tied.
Okay.
So we had to split the Jeep and the $4 million.
Ah.
So.
Just cut it in half?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Just cut it, and we cut
Monday,
it right
Wednesday,
then.
Friday?
No, we cut it in half.
Okay.
He got the part with the engine. I got screwed.
Ah.
So. Anyway, so we're here and we're hanging out. So you were talking a little bit about some of the guests that are coming up on You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Yes.
It is Thursday, December 27th at the Hungry Brain.
Mm-hmm.
10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Now you've known Brandon for longer than 10 years.
Probably 15.
Yeah.
Probably 14, 15 years. Mm-hmm. I think from there, mm-hmm. from that point.
And he always wanted to be a talk show host.
Yes.
Yep. No, well, I've interviewed the guy.
Oh,
so,
that's what he said?
Well, that's what he says. He always wanted to have a late night show. And
and
Brandon and I obviously shared share a love for the great Craig Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he loves Craig.
Oh, the best. He was the best. And we were talking about talk show hosts and stuff a couple of weeks ago, and who were the best and all that. And Craig to me is right near the top of that. But for me, because of my, how old I am, my generation, Letterman was the biggest influence on me, comically. I mean, Johnny Carson is the king. There's just no question about it. But for me, Letterman was the one that I discovered him when I was a teenager, and we talked about his. He used to have a morning show.
Johnny Carson?
No, Letterman.
Or Letterman?
Letterman had a morning show when he first started. They put him on at 9 o'clock in the morning. And
where in New York or
in New York, nine in the morning on NBC. It was live. He had Edwin Newman from NBC News sitting on set.
Had to be exciting.
And in the corner, and they would cut to news updates from him. And the rest of the show was the rest of the show was just it was the weird kind of stuff that Letterman eventually started doing at 11:30 at night. Which
at 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m. And that's why it lasted one summer. It was on the summer of 1980, and I watched it every single morning. Got up at 9 o'clock and watched it every morning. And I thought it was just genius.
Mm-hmm.
But people, housewives and other people who are home who want to see your typical daytime kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, no, that's not.
No.
The housewives. It's not for them. Some of them, I'm sure.
I mean, not just housewives, but people who watch daytime TV.
Exactly.
Going, what is this? And because, now you've got, you've got Ellen, you've got The View, all those very friend. Because daytime talk is a lot different than late night talk.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And so he was doing, weird stuff at 9 o'clock in the morning, and people were like, what? And so somebody it was Trucker Rich, our good buddy Trucker Rich, when we were talking about this, he remembered the morning show and a specific thing that happened. Letterman had the oldest man in New York on the show to celebrate his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 95 candles on this cake. They wheel out this cake. There were 95 candles on the cake. And then they dropped a confetti, and all the confetti started on fire.
Oh no!
And it shot off, and it's the sprinkler systems went off, and everything, and it was just live on TV. So there were flames everywhere, shooting all
Is
over.
Is that the last year that man was alive?
Probably, but yeah, that was the. And I don't really remember. I mean, I'm sure I watched it at the time, but I didn't remember it. But yeah, so we were talking about talk show hosts and stuff, and Brandon's great at what he does.
Yeah,
he is. He's really great, and I because I appeared on the show, and he's great.
Yeah, we have our moments.
Yeah, yeah, and you're great as the co-host.
There's a lot of times it goes off the rails, but that's to me, that's the best because we stopped caring at that point. When it goes off the rails, we just we don't know what's happening now.
Right.
That always seems to me is.
Well, that's
not TV magic.
Maybe the most thrilling
live show magic.
Yeah, yeah. No. I understand what you're saying. I had an author on who wrote a book about an entire book, which, by the way, I got in the mail, Dan. I just got it this morning from Brad Schreiber. He wrote a book about accidents and stuff and weird stuff that happens during live theater.
Oh.
And it's a bunch of collections of things. And having done a lot of theater in my time,
yeah,
I had a bunch of stories, you know, obviously of like either maybe somebody in the audience doing something or a prop messing up. And we were talking about, you know, when things go off the rails in live theater and how people handle it.
Yeah, that has to be different because you have a set. You have a script.
Have I told you the worst? The worst one?
The puking one?
Yeah. Where the guy vomited all over and he walked across the stage.
He thought it was a bar?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bar, but not.
It was a set.
Yeah.
And he fell asleep during the show. And he had seen the show before. He and a group of guys had seen the show before and they loved it. And, you know, because the show had a lot of drinking in it.
Right.
They thought they could just get hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed out drunk and then woke up, threw up, and then climbed over Steve Cochran and his mother, by the way, who were there that night at that performance.
Oh, boy.
Climbed out and walked onto the set, which was a bar, a full bar, and the entrance to the bar, you know, the entrance to the bar on the set, outside that entrance down that hallway was the real bathroom to the theater. So he went out, and it looked like he went outside, like he went through the bar, vomited, went through the bar and went outside. And then I said to the guy playing the bartender, I said, geez, you really overserved that guy. So we got a laugh. We actually got a laugh. But I was so. But by that point, at that point, it opened up the floodgates. People were like, oh, I guess we can just get up and walk around.
Oh, boy.
And people were like, got on their phone. And there was a guy walked across the stage, went backstage and was like, yeah, I'm at a play. It's pretty good.
No.
So when, you know, when stuff goes off the rails, it does go off the rails. And it's, you know, sometimes it's I was so pissed. And
yeah.
No,
I can imagine.
Because I directed the show, too, and co-wrote it. So it was a real personal show for me. And so, you know. And Steve Cochran was there.
And his mother.
And so, like, I remember at one point, my buddy Mike, who I co-wrote the show with, who was also in it, he walked up to me while the chaos had begun.
Mm-hmm.
He just walked up to me, and he kind of like, he goes, don't, just take it easy, man. Just take it easy. Because he could see it. Across, he was sitting across the bar from me on the set. And he could just see in my face that I wanted to kill somebody. And he's like, just take it easy, man. Take it easy. We got 40 more minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so
you can't even say anything. I mean, you can say something, but it has to be within the context.
That's
you don't want to break.
Exactly. And we had to stick to this. You know, we had to, you know, the last like five minutes of the show is really sad, like really somber and quiet. By that point, we had lost. I mean, we'd lost everybody. And I'm the last guy on stage. I was the last guy, and I had to like do. I have to do this moment. That's really, really sad as the last person on stage. And it was so hard for me to do it that night because I had to feel sadness, but all I felt was anger and contempt. So you guys have any stand up on?
We do. Comedian Carly Kane. So she should be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just excited about mainly Daniel Knox just because we have a history with him.
Yeah.
And he has been on the show before. He's a good friend to the show.
And he sings, he plays piano.
Yeah, he has an amazing voice. He actually has a really great version of Last Christmas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
By Wham?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a very nice version.
That's
he has
awesome.
This very deep, brooding voice.
And you told me off the air he's a projectionist at the Music Box.
Yeah. So he cares, and it's funny sometimes. I'm friends with him on Facebook. You just see him post about other movie theaters that claim to show movies when it really is just a DVD that they're playing on their screens, and it's not the screen. What do you call it? It's not to the screen or whatever.
Right.
It's like overblown.
Right.
And because he cares so much, and he's like, they're useless.
It's funny. I hope he's there, you know, running Roma, because they're showing Roma in 70mm in January at the Music Box. And Roma is an extraordinary movie that trust me, on this show on January 7th, when Colin and Eric come down live for the year end, you're going to hear a lot of talk about this movie, Roma. There's going to be a lot of discussion.
It's good, though.
About Alfonso Cuarón.
It's very good.
It's ridiculously good, this movie. And it's a Netflix movie. And I really, you know, if that's the only way you can watch it, then that's cool. But in January, they're going to show it for a limited time for just a week at the Music Box in 70mm. That's the way to see the movie. I've seen it twice. I've watched it twice from my screener. mm-hmm. and it blew me away. To see it in 70 millimeter is just going to be insane. And I'm sure that he'll be there. Daniel will be there
probably
running the projection.
Yeah. He also had a hand in, they did a whole Twin Peaks thing, I think, earlier this year. Mm-hmm. He had a hand in curating that as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's very passionate about all that.
That's great, man. And he's going to be there.
He will. He'll be performing.
All right. Very cool. And this is all, again, the 10th anniversary of You, Me, Them, Everybody at the Hungry Brain.
Yes.
And Brandon Weatherby and our good old friend here, Esmeralda.
Yes. On the 27th.
Did I say it wrong?
No. Oh. But you didn't say it this time.
December 27th. Thursday, December 27th. I thought maybe I said the wrong date.
No, you gave all the details and I was like,
December 27th.
No. Okay.
December 27th. There is a website, too. YouMeThemEverybody.com.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Esmeralda, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll take a break. One more with Esmeralda. And we've got a For the Record coming up, too, right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back to the hoedown. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. And all of our regular Friday features will be coming up in a special holiday edition of Fly Jams Friday. We're here till 5. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Esmeralda Leon is here. I was just pleasantly surprised to find out that you liked the movie Cemetery Man. You told me.
Yeah.
No one
knows that movie. Well, I don't
think. It's Rupert Everett. It's a great movie.
It's an Italian.
It's an Italian crazy horror movie.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Rupert Everett. Hubba, hubba.
Yeah. See, and now that you tell me that you like Cemetery Man, I've got just a crap load of Italian horror that I can.
See, but that's not like gory. It's not. At least I didn't think it was gory.
What, Cemetery Man?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little.
It is, but it's not like, oh, no, I'm going to dream about this.
Well, the thing about Cemetery Man is one of the reasons why it can get away with the gore that's in it is because of the tone of the movie.
Mm. See, I like that, though.
Yeah. And there's a lot of crazy-ass Italian comedy movies that I think you would like. That's why when I said that you like Cemetery Man, then you have to see Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Because Evil Dead 2 is that same kind of, it's hilarious. It's gross, you know, blood flying everywhere, hands getting chopped off and stuff. But
wait, maybe I have seen that one.
It's that's the one where he
he's in the house.
He's in the house. Well, the first one in
the cabin.
First one and the second one are both.
But the second one is what the.
It's kind of exactly like the first one, except with crazier special effects and a lot funnier.
Oh, then I have seen it.
Okay, so you've seen Evil Dead 2.
So I've seen the second one, yeah.
Yeah, the second one's really funny. It's really funny, and he chops his own hand off, and as he's chainsawing off his hand, because his hand gets possessed and starts to slap him across the face and grab him, you know, very, very Three Stooges kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Ash is chopping off his own hand, he's like, who's laughing now? As the blood shooting all over his face. That's the kind of thing. You know, and the TV show, the Ash vs. Evil Dead, starring my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, that's the same tone.
It's
hilarious. It's just, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, that I don't mind.
Tell everybody where you bought Cemetery Man. You bought
it
on DVD. At
7-Eleven. I mean, this was years ago.
Was it just like an impulse purchase?
Well, it was when I was working for Camel, doing the...
That's right.
When I used to hawk free cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Smokers.
I got plenty of packs of Camels that back in the days when I smoked. I used to when the Camel person would come in, they were the favorite person in the bar.
Yeah, and I did the daytime, the weirdo daytime.
Uh-huh.
At a convenience store. So I was at the 7-Eleven just standing around cuz that's what mainly the job was until someone came in that was smoking. And I was looking, you know, they have the movies there sitting there, and they had Cemetery Man. I was like, "What?" And it was like really cheap, so I was like, I need to buy this now.
A cheap copy of Cemetery Man bought from the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that 7-Eleven knew what was going on.
That's right, it was a hip 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
A hip 7-Eleven. Cemetery Man. Dan, have you ever even heard of Cemetery Man?
I have not.
It's ridiculous.
It's so good.
I saw it like on an HBO or something like that.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater, obviously, as soon as it came out. Because the director has done a lot of crazy Italian crazy horror in the past, and so I was a fan of the directors, and And I just went nuts when I saw it. I saw it a couple times in the theater, and I got it at home on DVD, and it's a great one.
It's hilarious.
Oh, it is. It's so good. It's so good. And that's another reason why I think you should see Dead Alive, which is an early Peter Jackson movie, which is the same kind of tone. It's very, very funny, but it's insanely gory.
Yeah, I'm only grossed out if it looks too real.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but half the time, like, a lot of that really gory, and if there's a comedy tone to it, then it doesn't really look real.
You should definitely see Dead Alive. You definitely. Without question, you should
all
see
right,
it. And it's, I mean, this is, when you're watching Dead Alive, just go, you know what? This is from the director of Lord of the Rings. It's so weird that, like, you could see, like,
and I go, what happened?
His first couple of movies are so insane. And that you would never think that he would do this, like, really prestigious, beautiful adaptation of a J.R.R. Tolkien book. You know? Like, you're watching Go Back in Time, like, the first time I saw Dead Alive, and like, in the future, he's going to do a really great version of Lord of the Rings. I'd be like, are you out of your mind,
no.
This guy? Are you crazy? So, but anyway. And I recommend buying movies at the 7-Eleven. Get a Slurpee and Cemetery. Did you get
exactly.
a Slurpee, too?
No. I was working.
Oh, that's right. You were working.
I was busy. Yeah,
that's right. That's got it. How long did you do that job?
Maybe like 6 months.
Yeah.
Not too long.
I mainly drove
around, and then I ruined my car, so then I couldn't drive anymore. I ran over a raised manhole.
Oh, that's not good.
I didn't think it was that high up.
But it was.
It was, and it just tore apart the transmission.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. It's a very
Now, when car. You were doing this, what you have to do is you walk up to the person who's representing Camel.
No, I'm the person representing Camel.
No, I know.
Camel.
This is what you do as a patron.
Yes.
With your ID.
Yeah, well, so what would happen was I would have to, because they didn't know. I'm just standing there.
Oh, okay.
Just someone standing there. And I'd go, hello, excuse me, I see you're buying cigarettes. And if they were in the beginning, it was you would just give them, regardless of what they were buying, you would give them a free pack.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into only if they bought Camel.
Only if they bought Camel.
And then it turned into here's a coupon.
But that's that
for
was
like half off.
So and then it was just like coupons, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, because when I was a smoker and hanging out in bars, they actually gave you packs
right.
of cigarettes.
Well, so the thing was because we were in stores where they had the supply, we would give them a voucher. And then they could go right
up to the counter and get
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So that was the incentive.
This was like I would. There were times when I would send my non-smoking friends up.
Oh yeah, no.
To get more packs of cigarettes for me.
Yeah, I when I have seen them, I get some for my friend.
Yeah. Oh
I'm
no,
like,
absolutely.
You're not going to stop. So
yeah.
Here's
yeah.
a gift for me to
here,
you.
Here you go. All right, hang on, Esmeralda. We got a break here. We got the news coming up and then more with Esmeralda. We're hanging out. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. And we're going to play a round of For the Record with Skip Skipley. And that's coming up soon right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, it's the Friday morning before I take like an extended holiday. Esmeralda,
you sound sad about it.
I am. I like my job very much.
You know, you don't have to go.
No, I know. But I'm just going to take some time off.
They just they lock you out. It's like, no, don't come
you
back.
You cannot come back in here for this amount of time.
I can text you all through the overnight hours just to keep you company.
Thank you. I'm sure I'll be awake. I don't.
Or you know what? Just come in for Vic.
Or
oh,
that.
Yeah,
we
oh,
can
yeah.
do that.
Oh, yeah, because that's the guy you want in the newsroom. That's,
yeah.
You want me in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. You want to trust the news to an idiot like me. That's a real...
It's all just you, big
I'm
dummy
sure,
stories.
I'm exactly right. That's what all it would be. And I would in the and during my entire news cast, it would be I would play the Sanford and Son theme underneath it.
Oh,
the prediction: the news would be a lot more entertaining, and the show would be a lot less entertaining. So let's keep it the way it is.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and I was just showing Jeff was kind enough. Jeff Tuckman, we gave away the incredible. Collection, the best of the Three Stooges with 13 DVDs, and Jeff was kind enough to have one for me, And so I was making Esmeralda very jealous. Yeah. I was showing her.
Uh-huh.
Dan, she's like, what do? They, like, slap each other? They poke each other? Yeah.
Oh, someone hit somebody with something?
Yeah, that's pretty much what
they get mad at each other, too? Is that?
And slap each other in the face. And
great. What's the next episode about?
They slap each other, and then they hit something over there. They bust crowbars over their heads and stuff.
How many hours of this?
85.
Wow.
85 hours.
Whew.
Yeah. My weekend is set.
It's a lot of violence.
Yeah. all right. It is, it's me. It's Nick DiGilio here, and Esmeralda's here. And I forgot I have to get a piece of paper because we have to score for... for the record.
Oh, I was like, what did you lose?
No, I didn't lose anything. All right.
A scrap piece of paper. You should have, like, in the library, they just have that pile of pieces of paper.
I should.
Just for this.
just for keeping score.
Uh-huh.
So we have this game that we call For the Record. And it's an 80s and 90s music quiz game that Esmeralda and I and Dan Skip. Would do on a regular basis.
Yeah, Dan knows nothing about this.
Dan has never participated.
He just walks out. He doesn't even know why.
Yeah.
Just leaves.
And so what we do is we get these questions that are music related from the 80s and 90s. And if we answer them correctly, we get a point, and then we win. Well, what is our prize going to be?
Have you had any zombie celebrities show up lately?
No, we'll have to have a zombie celebrity.
Offering their services?
We'll have to have a zombie celebrity show up. How about zombie Burt Reynolds?
Oh!
He'll show up and give you a ride in the Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, boy. Oh, speaking of, I saw Deliverance.
Ooh, huh? Did you like it?
Yeah.
What does
there's
that
just, No, there's just, I'm like, what? You know what? I honestly didn't know what it was about.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was about something else.
Did anybody warn you about the scene?
Yes.
You knew about the scene.
Yeah, that's all I knew about.
All you knew, squeal like a pig. That's
the little boy.
And the little boy playing banjo.
Yeah. But half of these people are terrible.
Oh no, it's a crazy movie.
Ugh.
It's a crazy movie. Burt Reynolds is a badass in it though.
Yeah, I guess.
You like The Longest Yard better?
Yeah. He's a little, his cockiness was a little more charming.
In The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much in Deliverance.
No. And he's mustacheless in Deliverance. Well, he's mustacheless in The Longest Yard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Except, at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
So you get both Burts.
Yes.
You get mustached Burt and non-mustached
Did they
Burt.
Ever make a doll of him?
Like, I think they... I'm pretty sure there's probably...
You can rip the mustache off.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I'm pretty sure that there has to be an action figure
mustache
somewhere.
Not included.
You take the mustache off, put it back on, depending on the Burt you want.
Oh, of course.
Dan August Burt, no mustache. Yeah. So... All right. So anyway, those are the rules. It's a pretty simple game. There are different categories, and of course, can you understand and even see what's happening with the? It's Skip Skipley.
Oh, the Bong Marine showed up.
Hey guys, yes, the Bong Marine is here.
Yay.
How are you?
Good. Good to see you guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, how are you going to celebrate Christmas on the Bong Marine?
Well, you know, I can give you two guesses. You know, since it involves Cheech and Chong.
Oh, okay.
So with bongs?
Yep.
Bongs.
Yep.
Okay. It's going to be a bong Christmas.
It's a different type of evergreen that we
have. Oh, come on now. Hold it a minute now.
All right.
Wow, Skip.
Wow.
All right. Skip Docks in California.
Skip's getting a good one off there, man. All right. All right, Skip. Well, thanks, man. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invite. It's good
All
to
right.
see you guys, too.
And Esmeralda is here, and it's always a lot of fun. So shall we try to play this thing?
Yes, we will try to play the game.
All right.
First question is for you, Nick.
Oh, by the way, the cats are outside ready to hear Esmeralda sing. They're floating around.
Good.
The raccoon from Skyscraper is also here, waiting for Esmeralda to sing. Okay.
Absolutely. Nick, the question category is yours.
What happened?
It'll also be your song once you answer it correctly.
If I answer it correctly?
If you answer, well, even if you don't answer correctly, I'm going
to Well, I have to
sing
the song first, yes. right?
Well, I'm going to make you sing it after because it might give away the answer.
So. All right.
Question is, what was Toto's only number one hit? Was it Hold the Line, Rosanna, I Won't Hold You Back, or Africa?
Oh, man. It's between Rosanna and Africa. Africa.
You are correct. Now sing us a line or two from Africa.
I don't really know the,
Oh, come on.
I walk 100 miles just to get away for you. Ain't nothing that 100 more could ever do. I lost the rains down in Africa. I watch the rains down in Africa.
I just think of that dog. Have you seen that? It's just a little video of a dog prancing. It's one of like Shiba Inus. And he's like, it looks like he's dancing to Toto's Africa.
Speaking of that, you didn't watch SNL this past week.
I watched the clip, though.
Oh, my God.
I'm on her side.
You're on her side. I am, too. I totally am, too. That sketch is brilliant. It's really,
oh, it's great.
It's brilliant. For those people who don't know, there's a sketch where there's like a sort of a Christmas a gathering with mm-hmm. new neighbors, and Matt Damon and Leslie Jones get into an argument about Weezer. And it's hysterical.
And which albums are the good ones?
Oh my God, is it funny? And that thing has blown up. I mean, it's gone viral. I'm telling you right now that this Weezer sketch, this SNL mm-hmm. Weezer sketch, is going to have the same sort of life as Cowbell.
Oh, good.
I really think so, because it's like taken out. People who don't watch the show watched that sketch and went, oh my God. And I watched it live, and I was laughing my ass off during it. I thought it was so funny and so weirdly specific.
Yeah.
You know, but
Leslie's right.
I agree with her too.
Fight me.
What was it? No. What did he say? You know what? With all due respect, but drink my blood.
Yeah. There's some good.
I will say this, Esmeralda. For the rest of the show, Damon was hilarious.
Oh, he was.
He was really funny on the show, like consistently in every sketch. He was really funny, but that Weezer sketch was just fantastic. All right. Are we ready to move on?
We are. Categories of the 90s. Esmeralda, the question is yours. Sixpence None the Richer had a 1999 hit with what song? All I Want to Do, Kiss Me.
Kiss Me.
That is correct.
Wow. That didn't take long.
Love that song.
Okay.
It's from the She's All That. Wait.
She's All That? Is that the one where...
Was it She's All That?
Yeah.
Is that the one where she's... Where she has glasses and takes them off and suddenly she's attractive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She also wears overalls.
Right, and then changes into a dress and takes off the glasses. And then it's like, oh my God, it's Rachel Lee Cook, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what's up?
Category is real name.
I don't understand.
What is country pop star Crystal Gayle's birth name? Is it Brenda Gayle Webb, Alana Sue Engel, Kelly Garita Morris, or Gayle Crystal Ball?
Wow. You can't change your name if it's Gayle Crystal Ball.
Oh, that is spectacular.
I'm saying A.
Brenda Gayle Webb is correct.
Oh, I knew that.
Of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm the president of the Crystal Gayle fan club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's your favorite song?
The one with the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite the lyrics is Crystal Gayle Ball. Categories, you're on stage, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the 1989 Grammy for Best Bluegrass Recording?
Oh, come on.
Was it the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, The Grateful Dead, Ricky Skaggs, or Chad Ravins? Who won the 1989 Grammy for Best Bluegrass Recording?
Ricky Skaggs.
Incorrect. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh, boy.
How amazed would you be if I knew?
That would be fantastic.
If I knew it, but then I go, yeah. And then in 1990,
they released this album.
The winner was.
I'm actually quite a huge bluegrass fan.
Let's break, okay?
Okay.
Skip.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll have more of For the Record to see who is going to be driven around in the Trans Am by Zombie Burt Reynolds. So there you go.
Big Gary, but he was really, really nice. What character were you?
I played the role of Mr. Gowan,
the druggist.
What's going on? What happened there?
It sounds like a rap song. Like,
what was going on
the
there?
The remix with Lou Manfredini.
Dan was working on a future segment.
Oh, Dan was working on a future segment, yeah. And Skip's not familiar with the equipment.
Right.
That's what's going on. Skipley, everybody, he's back. He retired, but he's back.
That sounded like that Baz Luhrmann song about the sunscreen. Remember?
No.
Always remember to wear sunscreen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. God. With the music.
Okay.
Did you know one of our former one of your former colleagues is responsible for that song?
Wait, what? Who?
Mary Schmeek of the Chicago Tribune. That was based upon one of her columns.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go.
I thought someone we knew.
Yeah.
Somebody hung out at the Brain?
No, like, I don't know.
I could see Vic Vaughn, actually.
Right? Yeah, like, Vic would.
Did you know Vic had a Vic hand in
well,
what?
Well, Vic has had so many unbelievable adventures in his life.
Right, we shouldn't be surprised.
Exactly. All right, Skip Skipley's back, everybody. We're in the middle of, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're in the middle of a lovely For the Record game. I am ahead 3-1, but that's because I have sung.
And I didn't know about
bluegrass. You didn't know the nitty-ditty-ditty-bitty-bitty dirt band.
Yeah.
Right. But I know my Crystal Gayle.
Well, you are the president.
Yeah, that's right.
Fan club.
So is my question, right, Skip?
Correct. All one right. Hit wonder is the category.
Oh, boy.
Bardot's only hit came in 1988. What was the song?
Bardot?
Bardot. B-A-R-D-E-U-X. When We Kiss... Love Hangover, Yummy Yummy Yummy, or Manic Monday?
Mm-hmm. When We Kiss.
You are correct.
Do you know that song?
No, I don't, but I know the other three. I know who did the other three.
Mm. Got it.
I know the other three were not by that Bardot or Bardot or
Bardot.
Okay, sorry.
With an X.
With an X.
And a U.
Very nice, Esmeralda.
Wow.
I remember things. That just happened.
That just happened? Yeah, okay. That's good.
Sharp short-term memory. Mm-hmm. That's what they say about that Esmeralda.
Yep. She remembers things that happened a minute ago.
Correct.
Past that, no.
Okay, Guy Pierce.
Category's Mosh Pit, Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. In 1985, who replaced David Lee Roth as the lead singer of Van Halen? Was it Winston Studi?
What?
Who is that?
Winston Studi?
Winston Studi.
I mean, they could fake it a little bit better, right, than Winston Studi?
Well, let's make sure that's not
a real person.
Is that a real
person?
Yeah.
Might be a real person.
Your other options are Tommy Shaw, Sammy Hagar, or Greg Gernes.
Sammy Hagar.
You are correct.
Yeah.
What was it, Winston Studi?
There is a Winston Studi in Flint, Michigan. I don't know if he is.
Oh, man.
Now, there's a Wes Studi. How is Studi spelled?
S-T-O-O-D-Y.
Oh. No, that's different.
Oh, I was thinking S-T-U-D-I.
Yeah, me too, because that's Wes Studi, the Native American actor who was in, like, Dances with Wolves and a bunch of other movies.
Oh, all right.
Wes Studi. That's the only Studi that I know. I thought it was S-T-U-D-I.
So close to
And he's
not.
Been in a bunch of movies. I think he got nominated for Dances with Wolves. I think Wes Studi got nominated.
Sure.
Yeah. He was just in Hostiles with Christian Bale from last year, a movie that four people saw.
Oh.
But it was really good.
Mm.
And really violent. All right. 4-2 right now. I'm in the lead.
We are in the second set of cards.
Oh, my God.
So close.
Okay.
All right. Category is the 80s. Question is for Esmeralda. The duo Roxette was formed in what country? Was it Sweden, Ireland, United States, or China?
United States.
That is incorrect. Sweden.
They're Swedish?
Yeah. So it was, I remember, I mean,
you got the look.
I remember, I remember them. You know, when they had their one or two hits,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really... I think I was aware that they were from Sweden, but when it really was driven home was when Scotty Martin, who runs Simon's, insisted that Roxette be on the jukebox because they're from Sweden.
Wow. Was it an all-Swedish jukebox?
No, but he wanted to represent, like, ABBA's on there because they're from Sweden. ABBA was, you know...
There was no one else.
I'm trying to remember.
You know what I mean? Like,
but
he wants Swedish artists.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Must be Roxette.
There, but no. He wanted. I'm sure he had other Swedish artists on there, but that's why they were on there was because they were Swedish. That's why they were on the jukebox. ABBA was on there because they were Swedish. And, well, also because ABBA's popular and the people would play them. I'm sure there are other Swedish... I know there was a Swedish metal band that was popular in the 80s. I think it was a bad hair metal band that was popular in the 80s.
Robin.
Robin?
Robin. Sure.
What's Robin?
Robin was a late 90s, early 2000s singer.
And now she's, but she's back. She's back!
Oh, she's a... Oh, was she Swedish?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know. What did she have?
Swedish?
Ace of Base was Swedish, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Were they on there?
All that I want is another baby. Wasn't that?
Keep that in mind for a future card.
What was their other? What was their other hit?
The Sign.
Oh, The Sign.
What do you mean other hit?
Hits.
Yeah, they had hits. I had their cassette.
They had more than two hits?
Yeah, they had The Sign, All That She Wants. Oh, man, what was that other one? It later on, like this was towards the tail end, they had It's a Beautiful Life. It's a beautiful life.
Oh, yeah, Was that them? That was them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The video, they're like
don't
in a
turn
bubble.
Around.
Don't. Oh, yeah, Don't Turn Around.
Never going to say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
You guys, what the hell's happening
Ace
here?
Ace of Base, man.
What's
Ace
going on
over.
Here? Hey, what was the what was her name? Not Katrina, but she had that.
Who? What?
I'm trying to think. now I can't think of it. Now, forget it. I was thinking I don't know. She wasn't from this country, and she had one name, and she had one hit. Oh, Toy Soldiers.
Oh,
Martika.
Oh, yeah,
Martika. So you remember Toy Soldiers, right?
Yes.
Okay. So. I go see, for my 40th birthday, my friends and I go to see, I had a connection at the House of Blues, and we got a box, and we saw Pat Benatar on my 40th birthday.
Okay.
Which I thought was appropriate, 40th birthday, seeing Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
With my friends and my girlfriend at the time, Heather, who would become my wife. And so the opening act was this band, and so Scott Oaken, my friend Scott Oaken, was there. As part of the group, and we're all up there having a good time, drinking, and you know, waiting for Pat Benatar to come out. And then, so this band comes out, and 2 seconds after this, the lead singer was a woman. 2 seconds after she walks on stage, she starts to sing. Scott goes, "That's Martika." Like he knew it literally. She sang like four lyrics. He goes, "That's Martika," and I'm like, "What?" He's like, "That's Martika," and she wasn't introduced as Martika. She was introduced, they were introduced as a band.
Mm.
They never singled her out. They were like, here's, you know.
But she was before. She was like a single.
She was, Martika, when she was a solo artist back in the day when Toy Soldiers came out. But now she was with this band. This was whenever I turned 40, which when, I can't remember.
A million years ago.
2005. Yes. I turned 40. So anyway, we're there, and she's like, and Scott goes, "That's Martika." And I'm like, shut up. I don't know if he recognized her or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he love Martika?
Well, he loved Toy Soldiers. So I'm like, get out of here. And so about 5 songs into the set, like right at the end of their set, they're like, and she walks up to the mic and goes, "I don't know if you guys remember this song, but I had a hit years ago with it. This is Toy Soldiers." And the place went nuts.
I mean, yeah.
And so they played Toy Soldiers. So I got to see Martika.
Wow.
She opened up for Pat Benatar.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the break here, Skip. You okay with that?
Yep.
Whose question is next?
It will be Esmeralda's. It'll be yours.
Me?
It'll be Esmeralda's song.
Oh, Esmeralda's song would be my question. That's a tease right there. The cats are going nuts. They can't wait through the news.
Wow.
4-2, I'm in the lead. So that's where we are for the record. All right, let's break here. News is up next. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We are here until 5 a.m. We've got the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. And then this is my last live show until January 2nd. And Dean Neal. He's the Dane Neal's brother. No, Dane Neal is going to be filling in for me while I'm away, and we're off for the holidays. So for the last show of 2018, I wanted to have Esmeralda come down, Esmeralda Leon, who is so awesome. Thank you for coming down. I really appreciate it. And by the way, we want to say happy birthday to Trucker Dingo.
Happy birthday, Trucker Dingo.
Trucker Dingo, did you eat that baby? That's a reference to the Meryl Streep movie. A dingo ate your baby.
Oh, see, I was thinking that you were thinking of the Seinfeld.
Well, that's what that's from.
Right.
That's what Elaine is referencing.
But I would expect you to go to the Seinfeld.
Oh, but that's what Elaine is referencing. She's referencing Cry in the Dark. The actual,
so a dingo actually ate that lady's baby?
It's a true
baby?
Story.
No.
It's a true story. A dingo dingo took her baby.
Oh, boy.
It's not, and she got, it's a great movie, by the way, if you've not seen it, because she was not the most pleasant woman in the world.
Oh, boy.
And so it became like, this was like before, obviously years before social media or anything, but it became a tabloid sensation. Like this woman was painted to be a lunatic, and she's like, a dingo took my baby in the middle of the night. It was, and it's a true story. I know.
A dingo ate my baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby. So anyway, Trucker Dingo, happy birthday, buddy. He said he can't think of a better way to celebrate than just listening to us.
Oh, yeah. All
right. My friend Anthony Turnis' birthday today.
Oh.
Yes, he's a terrific actor, and I co-wrote Black and Blue with him. Mm. He's a very cool dude. All right. So, we're back here now. Esmeralda, can you understand and even look? Can you see?
Oh, is he back?
He came through the wall, and he's...
Not the coolest.
Sorry, he almost did a spit take. Esmeralda almost did a spit take. It's Skip Skipley. Oh. He went, yeah! I remember one of the first times that I laughed my ass off at Family Guy was when Family Guy first premiered.
Mm-hmm.
It premiered in 1999. After the Super Bowl, because I remember they hyped the hell out of it.
Oh, okay.
Super Bowl was on Fox that night. Family Guy premiered after the Super Bowl, and the first time I laughed out loud was there's a courtroom scene in the middle of it, and then it became a running gag.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they've used that many a time.
But the first time when he came busting through the wall, or what does he say?
Oh, yeah!
He busts through the wall, the Kool-Aid guy busts through the wall, oh, yeah! And then everybody's just kind of like looking at him.
Oh, no.
The best part is just him slowly stepping out through the wall. That was the first time I laughed at Family Guy. So, anyway, he busted through the wall, and it's Skip Skipley.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Skip.
He's getting stronger as the years go on.
Dan's going to get blamed for that.
Oh, boy.
He's on vacation. What is he doing?
Exactly. All right. Well, it's 4-2 in our music quizzington. That would be for the record.
It's fancy.
4-2, and I'm up. But now you get to sing because the cats have gone nuts. That you should have seen them during the news. They were so impatient. They started.
I can imagine.
They started punching each other in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Their little paws.
They were little Three Stooges outside.
Sounds adorable.
Slapping each other in the mouth.
Aw.
All right, so Skip, is she going to sing first?
No, we're going to have you do the question first because she's going to know the answer. Ah. We don't know if you'll know the answer.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, what? This is
wait.
Fair.
So it's my.
It'll be my question.
It'll be his question, and you'll provide us with the song afterwards.
I will provide an answer. Hopefully, it'll be right. Even if it's not right, you will know the answer, and you will sing
your answer.
All right.
Category is the '90s.
Yeah.
What group of girls had a hit with "Wannabe"? Was it Spice Girls?
What do you not know this?
En Vogue, Salt and Pepper, or Aspen's Girls?
Do you not know this?
Spice Girls.
That is correct.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I got worried.
Esmeralda, the cats
are. Do you have a favorite
waiting.
Spice Girl?
I think I enjoy Ginger.
Yeah,
she's all right.
It's all about Scary for me. I love Scary Spice. Love her.
Am I singing "Wannabe" or what am I singing?
Yeah, give us "Wannabe."
All right.
Hold on.
If you really want, what you really really want.
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I wanna zig a zig. Ah, wait, there was more to that. I forgot the other part. Don't you wanna be my lover?
If
you wanna be my lover.
Why do you know, I know this?
I was gonna say when I asked this question, I did not expect Nick to be the one providing the lyric.
If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta, Slam your body down and swing it all around. Slam your body down and zig a zig. Ah, there we go.
Where's the, what about the you got to get with my friends part? Friendship never ends.
Yeah, that's the other verse.
Oh, all right.
I think. Yeah. Or did I just completely omit that?
I don't know.
I think you might have.
I think you might have omitted. Why do I know that song better than you do? How is that even remotely possible?
Do you have a, what do you call those things?
What?
I can't think of it now. You know where you put up pictures of people? Shrine. Do you have a shrine?
Yeah.
To Scary Spice?
I have a Scary Spice shrine, yeah. She's Mel B, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will say this. I enjoyed Spice World.
I heard it was good.
It's good.
I heard it was funny.
Richard E. Grant is in that. Here's the thing about Richard E. Grant, who will probably get nominated for an Academy Award this year.
He's always a stuffy British man.
Well, stuffy and drunk. Those are the two. Those are the two things he really plays.
Oh, he's in the. Is he with
Melissa McCarthy?
Yes.
He's gonna get nominated for. An
oh,
Oscar.
He's that guy. Okay.
He's that guy. Richard E. Grant, amazing actor. With Nail and I. That's all I'm saying. With Nail and I. It's a movie.
Oh, that's not the one with Melissa McCarthy.
No, that's Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Is that any good?
It's very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Richard E. Grant has the distinction of being not only in Spice World, and like, you know, he's like this sort of like classically trained British actor, and he's in Spice World. He's also in the movie version of Josie and the Pussycats.
Wow.
Featuring the aforementioned Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, look at that. Coming together.
What is that? Rachel Lee Cook, Tara Reid, Rosario Dawson.
Yes.
And that's it, right?
Someone else.
And someone else? Is there a fourth band member?
No, actually.
I think it's just a trio.
Yeah.
So it's Rosario Dawson, Tara Reid, and Rachel Lee Cook. Another movie I liked. I like both of those movies. So, all right, what the hell? So you got that for singing.
Yes, she did.
So it's 5-3 now, and then now it's Esmeralda's question, correct?
That is correct.
All right.
Category is real name, Esmeralda. Mm-hmm. What is the international pop singer Basia's birth name? Is it Florence Basia, Basia Triskalaka, Patricia Shorts,
or
Basia Nova?
I'm going to go with the first one.
Florence Basia is incorrect.
Basia, is it Patricia Shorts?
No, it's Basia Triskalaka.
It's because you said it wrong.
It's not Winston Studi.
It's not Winston Studi. As far as we know.
All right, what's next?
Category is you're on stage for you, Nick.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is right.
Who,
Esmeralda, you called it. Who won the 1990 Grammy for the best bluegrass recording?
Ah, I'm not going to tell you.
Your options are.
I'm not going to tell you. Well, let me tell you something. If one of the options is the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, that's what I'm going with.
Was it Nancy Griffith, Willie Nelson, Howie Shaybar, or Alison Krauss? Again, your options are Nancy Griffith, Willie Nelson, Howie Shaybar, or Alison Krauss.
You know, I know Willie Nelson has done some bluegrass, so I'm going to say Willie Nelson.
That is incorrect.
Good.
Esmeralda, you don't want to ruin it, do you?
Harvey Shaybar.
Alison Krauss.
Alison Krauss.
Really? Oh, you know, who's the one who does jazz?
Diana Krall.
Oh. I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. 5-3.
Okay.
Is the score. All right.
One hit wonder is the category. And the question is for you, Esmeralda. Mm. What was Danny Wilson's lone U.S. hit? Was it Mary's Prayer, Come On Eileen, Runaway, or Turning Japanese?
Again, process of elimination.
What was Danny Wilson's lone U.S. hit? Mary's Prayer, Come On Eileen, Runaway, Turning Japanese.
The first one.
You are correct.
Yeah. Okay. Because we know all the other artists.
Well, I couldn't think of who Runaway was.
Well, there's two of them. There was Bon Jovi had one.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You're a little
She's
runaway.
A little runaway. And then there was...
Do you like that we sang that and we both sang completely different lyrics?
What's next?
Category is Mosh Pit. Final question.
Oh, well, you can't win, Esmeralda. I get to drive around with zombie Burt Reynolds.
Hope he bites you.
It would be an honor.
By the way, we will be chased. I forgot about this. We will be chased by zombie Jackie Gleason. I totally... and while we are tailing zombie Jerry Reed. So that's, wow. That's all going to happen.
Wow.
Is this going to happen right after the show?
He's waiting outside right now.
That's the real reason he's
We got the rig
vacation.
Outside. Zombie Jerry Reed is outside in the rig. Zombie Burt Reynolds is in the Trans Am. And zombie Jackie Gleason is a couple blocks away in the Trooper.
It's going to be an interesting morning of traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you wish you were still reporting?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is the last question.
Yes.
All right.
Category is Mosh Pit. What Woodstock 94 participant performed their hit Shine? Was it the Spin Doctors, Collective Soul, Blind Melon, or Chrome Dome?
That's Collective Soul, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
I was going to say they could have tricked you because Chrome Dome, Shine.
Oh.
It's shiny.
Oh.
But I think that's always, a real band.
I always liked the term Chrome Dome for a bald guy. I always loved that. It's one of my favorite terms. Oh, look at Chrome Dome over there.
That's all. It only works if it's very shiny.
Yeah, I know, but you can't have a dull
does anybody, bald head.
Does anybody say that anymore about bald guys?
I don't know. It's not 1985 in a teen movie.
How's it going, Chrome Dome? That's seriously one of my favorite terms ever is Chrome Dome. I want to get their album Chrome Dome. Chrome Dome's greatest hits.
We have to find you some bald guys.
They're Swedish.
Oh yeah. Oh, were they on the jukebox?
Yeah, they were on the jukebox. We used to play Chrome Dome all the time at Simon's. Chrome Dome. You know that should be a wrestler's name, a bald wrestler.
Chrome Dome.
Yeah, here comes Chrome Dome.
He'd really have to shine up his head.
Yeah, that would be good.
And he'd wear metal, like he'd have like a metal
for
outfit
his, for his entrance. They would shine a single light on his head, and it would reflect like a laser
blind
beam.
Everyone.
Blind everybody, like Eric Bloom blinded that guy. Eric Bloom is the lead singer. Eric Bloom is the lead singer for Blue Oyster Cult. And Blue Oyster Cult, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah.
Okay. And Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
They, in the 70s, they had this legendary laser light show.
Okay.
Like it was, that's what they were known for. Like it was like you go and see it, man. Oh, man, lasers everywhere. Mm-hmm. You'd blow weed and there'd be like 5,000 lasers and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was this, the Eric Bloom, the lead singer, would come out in flowing robes and stuff.
Of course.
And he had a ring that he wore that had a laser shoot out of it. And he would like walk out on laser beams. They would have laser beams. And I saw this show before, but then they kind of outlawed it. They had to cut down on it because apparently somebody had the ring laser like hit some dude's eyes.
Oh no.
And like he had eye damage. But of course the rumor back in the 70s was, hey man, did you hear what happened at the Blue Oyster Cult show, man?
What?
Oh man. Eric Bloom. Laser beam pointed at this kid's face. Eyes blew up. His eyes blew up in his head.
You would think
like,
that they
what?
Would lose a lot of money because of that, because no one would want to go to the shows.
Right. Well, yeah.
Like, I don't need it's my like, eyes man, to blow out of my
is,
head.
This is so cool, man. The guy's eyes blew up in his face, in his skull, because Eric Bloom pointed the laser at him. The kid's eyes blew up.
Or people would want to go because they want to see.
That's what they got. Everybody would be like, man, it's so cool, man.
We gotta go see.
Guy's eyes exploded right in his skull, man.
Eyes explode. We need to go see Murder.
Yeah, let's go see Blue Oyster Cult just in case somebody gets killed with their eyes exploding, man.
Oh, my gosh.
So they had to cut down on the lasers.
Yeah. I would imagine that seems very muddled.
What do you mean?
All the lasers. Just seems like most of the lasers would get lost amongst the other lasers.
I will tell you, it was crazy. It was really impressive. I mean, it was
at one point, it's just a blob of light.
It's just crazy lasers everywhere, and you know, lasers that would write letters on screens and stuff.
ELO did the same, Godzilla.
But it would, but yeah. So that was the thing, though. Like Eric Bloom would come out with the ring,
right,
and then people's eyes would blow up out of their skulls. And then the guys in the 70s would blow weed and go, "Man, let's go see some guys get their eyes blown out."
Sounds like a villain. the robes.
You need to come out with robes.
And a laser ring his name that is blows Eric, people's
Eric,
eyes out.
Eric Bloom is his name. who, by the way, in the cowbell sketch, is portrayed by Chris Parnell.
Oh, okay.
That's the guy that, that's the guy that Chris Parnell is playing.
Is he that spittly, or they were just like, here, you do it?
No, he was the one who had the, that was, he was the one who had the bad, Eric Bloom had a bad mustache, and so yeah, that's who he played.
Okay.
So, but anyway. I just I thought maybe you'd want to hear about the blue oyster called Eyes Explosion.
It's the longest time in a long time that blue oyster cult
ever got mentioned. Yeah. All right. They've got to be on reunion circuit, right?
Probably
blowing people's eyes out at show. At shows.
They can't afford that anymore.
All right, let's take a break. We're gonna do the weather, and then we will come back and wait. What the hell are we doing? Oh, we're doing You Big Dummy. So get ready to vote, Esmeralda. Okay.